there are parts of Christian life that should be taken extremely seriously. Extremely seriously. Because if they are not properly observed, somebody is going to wind up lost. It's like a person who thinks they'll put off salvation for a while until they get ready, or because they want to enjoy life, so they say. And then they die in a car accident and there's no time. My family was at Connie's bedside when the Lord took her from this life. And I appreciate very much the lesson that Bobby brought this morning on the book of Acts, dealing with the Holy Spirit. Because at that moment, not only was the Spirit of life gone, but so was the Holy Spirit, because she was gone. And at that point, it's too late to make decisions. And the Bible tells us, it actually gives us some warnings that if certain things occur, God is going to make sure that additional consequences occur. And there's a voice that there's a verse that has verses that really have always been a problem in my heart. It has made me question. And I am sure that as you read the Bible, whether you read it through year by year or you just read it through a little bit here and a little bit there, whatever your pattern is for reading, every once in a while you run across something that causes you to have a question. The question is usually in your heart. And many times, it's a matter of conviction of something in your life that you're going to have to deal with. And we're going to look at a passage like that this morning. It is a passage that always has been a little bit scary to me. Now, I use that word scary. I've used it rather liberally lately. I guess God has been taking me in that direction. And the passage is Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. I want us to think about this morning for some very good reasons. You will make your own decisions about this passage. You will also be thinking about possible consequences to what we're about to read and study in the lives of some of the people you know. But the passage in Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6 says this: "For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come," Bobby talked about it a little bit this morning, "and then fell away, it is," and I want you to look at this next word, "it is impossible to renew them again to repentance." Let me repeat that part of the verse. "It is impossible to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." Who is it talking about? From my very first experience in learning about Baptist doctrine, I was told that if a person was really saved, they could never lose their salvation. That was over 50 years ago. I still believe that. Still believe it. All my heart. I didn't completely understand it when I was told it. And the fact of the matter is that I still don't fully understand when a seemingly strong Christian abandons the faith that they seemingly lived by for so many years. And they seem to deny their faith by their actions. Folks, I just don't understand. But we are not to judge. That's not our job. That's the job of Jesus Christ. He is going to be the judge. We are not. And so we are not to make judgments about this kind of a situation. There's a passage of Scripture that deals with such a situation. I would like for us to spend some time there for the sake of unity in our church family. When we love people, particularly people we consider brothers and sisters in Christ, it hurts our hearts when they do something unexpected and out of character with what we understand about them. And this alternative conduct is not possible in just anyone's life. There are only certain people who can take such actions. Now, so there is not a misunderstanding. I fully believe that once a person is saved, born again by the power of God's Holy Spirit, that soul can never leave the security of God's protection and God's eternal security. We do not keep ourselves. God keeps us in the palm of His hand. God keeps us. We don't. We can't. We're sinners. We have a sin nature. And that sin nature pulls it at us all the time. We may be involved in some kind of a habitual sin before we're saved. I smoked. Now, smoking isn't going to put you to hell. You're going to smoke when you get there, but but I didn't want to quit smoking. I didn't give it up. I enjoyed it. It was a good, I liked it. And I tried and I tried and I tried to quit. And I'd get sneaky with it. And then I'd be more open with it. And it took a while until one day God convicted me. And at that point, it was gone. There was never a temptation again, because that wouldn't be true. But you may have some sin that it was in your life prior to your being saved that somebody else might object to. I realize now, almost 50 years later, what an ugly sin that is and how it bothers other people. I used to fly back and forth between here and Saudi Arabia, and I would smoke cigars on the airplane. Oh, that must have been horrible for people. Because it would be horrible for me now, but not then. So folks, what I'm trying to help us to realize, all of us, none of us are perfect. Not a one. There's going to be things in our life that some others are going to object to. They're going to want to judge and say, oh, that's wrong. And if the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. But like I said, I fully believe that if a person is saved, if they're genuinely born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, that that soul can never, ever leave the security of God's protection and God's eternal security. Now, many times, there are men all over the world standing in pulpits who have tasted the good fruit, but never fully partaken of it. Never fully partaken of it. There are young men, boys who grow up and want to be a preacher. That's their desire. That's not necessarily God's call. It can be, but it may not necessarily be God's call on them. But they go ahead and become a preacher. But many of them, and you'd be surprised how many of them have never been changed here. Completely. They're some of the ones that this passage of Scripture is talking about. I have, for most of my Christian life, had a problem with this passage. It is a difficult passage because we all know people who have fallen away and we wonder why or how. And so this needs to be addressed. We're here to learn about Him. We're here to learn about Jesus Christ, who is also at His right hand, making intercession for His people right now. That's why we're here. And so let's see if we can learn a little bit this morning about Hebrews chapter 6. I can tell you right now that as I have gotten older and seen the verses fulfilled in other people's lives, I've come to a better understanding of their importance. So let's unpack these three verses and see what we can discover. The book of Hebrews was written to Hebrew believers, Jews who had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They had accepted Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And they were learning and experiencing all that goes along with it. In the early time of Jesus' ministry, when people believed on Him, they simply believed on Him. After His ascension, that Bobby talked about this morning, after His ascension, the instant a person believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he hasn't gotten to that point yet, but I'm going to jump ahead. The Holy Spirit indwells them. They are born again. And Bobby, I'm sure we'll be teaching about that when it gets to chapter 2. We didn't get there this morning. But once the Holy Spirit indwells us, that is God living in us. Living in us. Not just existing, not just abiding, but living in us. And our lives are changed. Our souls are changed. Everything about us is almost changed, but there's an old man living in there too. And that old man is a problem for all of us. No matter how religious we might want to be, no matter how holy we might want to be, how much we might want to be in God's will, that old man still lives there. And that old man is the sin nature that we were born with. blame Adam. He's the one who has passed on through. And he passed it on to the next man, to the next man, to the next man, and your father passed it on to you. That's where it comes from. You know, it's only natural when people question the reality of man's faith, when he seems to abandon that faith that he had promoted so enthusiastically. That's natural. At the first, it doesn't seem possible. And we want to give them another chance to be restored. But that is very, very unlikely, because of what this passage says. If you remember the passage, there is a word in that passage that is very important, and it should scare you. And that word is impossible. Impossible. To restore to repentance. What do you have to do to turn away from sin? You have to repent. And what this verse is saying is that that can no longer happen if a particular person does what these previous verses talk about. Jude 1, 5 and 6 says, "Now I desire to put in your remembrance, though ye know all things, once for all, that the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt." Now we're thinking about Israel being delivered out of Egypt by Moses. In a word, Moses saved them out of Egypt. God used him for that. Let's go on with that verse in Jude. That the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and angels that kept not their own principality, but left their proper habitation, he hath kept in everlasting bonds under darkness to the judgment of the great day. The people, the adults that Moses led out of Egypt, all died in the wilderness except for two. Oh, even Moses. The devil, when he rebelled in heaven out of pride, which we all have, the devil, when he rebelled in heaven, a third of the angels, and I don't have a number, I wouldn't even speculate, but a third of the angels followed him. And God says they are reserved in darkness, in hell, at this very moment, waiting for judgment. He's going to judge angels. You think we're not going to get judged? Yes, we are. God used Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. But they died in the wilderness because they did not believe. They tasted deliverance, but they never really experienced it. And there are a lot of people in this world who taste Jesus and taste the good things about him and taste the Word of God. Oh, such a wonderful book. And I can tell you all kinds of good things out of this book, but not experience it. And there are those who have been used of the Holy Spirit momentarily to accomplish some great task for God. They receive a momentary anointing. So they have tasted the Holy Spirit also, the power. But they walk away. They fall away. I was talking with someone by telephone last night who I told that person, you know, I enjoy having the Holy Spirit lead me and tell me what is right in the little things. Buy this at the grocery store because it'll help you. Down 4 pounds right now. I cut off a foot. No, no. I enjoy having the Holy Spirit as my companion. I hope you do. I hope you sense His presence in your heart. I hope you experience, you're talking to Him all the time. Lord, what am I supposed to do in this situation? Holy Spirit, show me the right way. Show me how to do this. I'm so dumb. Certain areas, so dumb. And I try and listen, but then I make my own decisions and it's wrong. But there are people who have tasted all these things and they have lived an exemplary life. They've been an example for others. And there, I know of men who led people to the Lord in their ministry before they went away. Before they got involved with another woman. They led people to the Lord. And God said, Ichabod on some churches. Because they were not following the book. That's what this verse is talking about. And it's a very important verse, folks. We, you and I, have to understand that there are certain things we cannot do without a dire consequence. And I think it's a pretty dire consequence when it talks about, and then fell away, it is impossible to renew them to repentance. Hebrews 6, 4 and 5 says, as touching those who were once enlightened, and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean that they possessed Him, but they tasted the good word of God. They knew that the word of God was a good thing. And the powers of the ages to come, to see the power of Jesus Christ doing a miracle. Any of you ever seen a miracle? I have. Sure you have. It was a miracle when you got saved. It was. It really was. It was a miracle when I got saved. Look at what God did. Look at what Jesus Christ did in order for that to happen. A whole lot of people don't understand somebody else dying for them. That's what happened. That was a miracle. The passage is speaking about the person who is given the truth about salvation. Given the truth. And they experience just a little bit of it around the edges. And they had the Holy Spirit who convicted them of their sin. That's what He does. And lack of obedience. and is dealing with those who even came to know what the Word of God said. You can't get saved without knowing what God's Word says. They may even have seen the Word at work in other people's lives. And maybe even in their own life, have they seen the truth play out. But they did not give the glory to God. Ever heard anybody brag about, oh, I did this, or I accomplished that? Not God did this, or God did that, then let me be there. Yeah. This person has come right to the edge of salvation, but they have not stepped into the faith necessary to claim it. It is not shown that they are walking by sight. That's what it shows. They're walking by sight, not by faith. And I might tell you that you need to walk by faith, but they don't really know what they're talking about. Now comes the scary part. Hebrews 6:6. And then, after experiencing all these things, after seeing God work, after seeing God work in other people's lives, after seeing God do what God does, and then fall away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. They can't come to that point again, ever. That's what this says. Impossible. They can't come to that point where they repent of their sin. They cannot be renewed. They cannot. They may be convicted, but it says here, they cannot be renewed to repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. You know, after they experience so much, they do something that shakes our faith and trust in them. They've been doing it secretly, probably for some time. But no one ever knew, because those who knew kept silent. Suddenly their misdeeds are in the open, for everyone to see, and people ask, how could he or she do such a thing? He could do such a thing, or she could do such a thing, because they were pretending to be something that they were not. Or they let their sin nature take control of their appetites. Now we come to the part that really scares me. According to what the Bible says, that man can no longer come to repentance because they make the blood of Jesus Christ of none effect. Of none effect. The blood of God in a bodily form. The payment, the propitiation for all of the sin of the world suddenly is like water. It's no longer the blood effective. They've maybe been telling others about Jesus dying for their sins. They may be witnessing to people. But folks, they just hadn't actually taken it for themselves. They did not lose their salvation. They did not. They never had it. And we are not to judge that. You and I are not to judge that. By their fruits you shall know them. We're not to judge where they are at spiritually. God will do that And one day Jesus Christ will do that. What the Bible says is always true, people. It is always true. There are no mistakes. There are no lies. There are no contradictions. If we understand Hebrews 6:6 correctly, then the person that goes back into sin willingly and intentionally, two requirements, willingness and intention, knowing that he is disobeying God's will, is in danger of hell. That's scary, people. That is scary. That hurts. And they've probably never actually been saved. So how are we to deal with a person who leaves their walk with Jesus? It's possible for the saved person to go back into the world. We talk about backsliding. That's the saved person who backslides. That's the saved person. See, sin hurts all of the people around us. It does. It hurts all of the people around us. So how are we to deal with the person who leaves their walk with Jesus? It's possible for the saved person to backslide. Most Bible scholars believe that the genuinely saved or born-again souls falling away is impossible because God is the one holding us. It's not us. God has us in his hand. Here's what the Bible says about this and about God. Would God just let him go? We all say no. Can you give me a verse of scripture that tells us that? Because that's what we're going to have. We need to have a verse for everything we believe, for everything we do. And I'm going to give you a verse of scripture why God would not open his hand and let them be lost. 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. This is a beautiful verse, folks. This is an important, powerful verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to youward, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And based upon this one verse that is very well known, repentance is necessary for salvation. See why this verse 6 is so scary? If we understand Hebrews 6:6 correctly, then the person that goes back into sin willingly, they're lost. Look at Jude 1, 1 and 2. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Folks, if you're saved this morning, you're being kept. You're being kept as a child of God for Jesus Christ, for his sake, that we can praise him up there around the throne when we leave this life. That's going to be our job. It's not going to be a job, folks. It's going to be a pleasure. It's going to be a privilege. There's one particular truth taught in the Word of God, and I want us to consider it at this point in the service. This is very important. The truth is, once we are born again, we no longer belong to ourselves. Once we are born again, we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to the one who purchased us from our sin. He is called a propitiation. That means payment. He bought us. We're not ours. We're His. We're His. We're kept not by our own efforts, but by the power of God. God cannot fail because He's perfect. He's also all-powerful. What did Jesus say? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's everywhere in the universe. Let's look at just a few of the verses that tell us that. Because someday somebody may say, how do you feel like you can never be lost? Or, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved. Okay, let's look at a few of them. John 3:16-17. Everybody knows that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish. Pretty plain. How can that be misunderstood? But have eternal life, eternal. For God sent not His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him. Okay, John 17:11-12. And I am no more in the world, and these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep them in Thy name, which Thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I kept them in Thy name, which Thou hast given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Then one more, that was Jesus Christ. And then one more, 1 John 4:9-10. Herein was the love of God manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the payment. It wasn't that we were loving God. He was loving us. Everything that God does is perfect and complete. God doesn't leave anything unfinished. He may take a seemingly long time to bring things to pass, and all of us have prayed for things sometimes for years. But He finishes whatever He starts. He's not like some of us. I say all of this to explain why once in a while, someone you may know seems to change the direction that their life is going in. If they've been living and representing themselves as Christians and they turn from that lifestyle and go into another direction, one of two things is possible. They never were what they represented themselves to be, or they are committing the unpardonable sin against God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. How are we supposed to deal with such a person? You and I have only one thing that we can do. Only one. We can pray that the individual that seems to have fallen away never really understood the Word of God. And in that case, if they did not really understand it, they just committed a sin for which there is no repentance. That's what Hebrews 6 teaches. There are many who were raised in the church who have forsaken that way of life when they became adults. They are toying with this possible eternal consequence. They may not be able to come back to God in repentance if they have knowledge. And this pertains to all of us. All of us. So folks, be in prayer that you don't know anybody who might have done this. Because verse 6 says, it is impossible to return to repentance. Without repentance, there is no salvation. Father, help us to understand, you know the purpose for which you have given us your word. And Father, you know our hearts. And I pray that every single heart here is absolutely right with you, that they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And Father, if there's a heart here who does not know him, I pray that this will be the day where they come to know him, that this will be the day where the Holy Spirit brings conviction, that this might be the day where they repent and turn to you. And Father, for the rest of eternity, it will be your child. Thank you, Father, for loving us that much. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for bringing us and calling us to the Lord Jesus Christ. May your will be done in each life, and we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.